In keeping with the law, the head of the SIU, arguably, you know, the lead fighter of corruption, or one of our top advocates in the land, Mr. Andy Mutebi, joins me now just to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that they're facing within the fight against corruption. Don't forget, of course, at 8:30, we'll be playing Scrambled Guess, which is the quiz that rewards you for listening. The first question is very simple. We spoke a little bit earlier about armed escorts that need to accompany technicians to work in dangerous areas of the country to restore some services. Which state-owned entity were we talking to in that regard? That's at 8:30. 9 minutes past eight. Let's turn our attention to Advocate Mutebi.
Join the lockdown conversation now on Cape Talk.
Welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. Advocate, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You know, there was a presentation to the Parliamentary Committee just sort of trying to frame some of the challenges that are faced by the SIU. Please, won't you give us some of that perspective?
Now, Refilwe, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to just come and present the work we do at the Special Investigating Unit. In particular, with regard to the presentation we made yesterday, that presentation uncovered a grand-scale corruption in the office of the state attorney, including legal practitioners, medical practitioners, and some other officials like nurses and officials of the state attorney's office. So your question is around the challenges we face. The challenges we face is that we must just make sure that there's consequence management in the form of prosecution, civil litigation, recovery of the monies lost, and make sure that there's general consequence management. Those officials that are responsible must be held to account, and they must be disciplined and be dismissed from the system of the state. Because if we fail to do so, we will then be fueling the perception that there's impunity to those who commit these offences and this corruption, and that does not augur well for the fight against corruption. We have really seen that even those who are supposed to be officers of the court, you know, they get implicated in this grand-scale corruption. So we are steadfast in saying we need to clean up and make sure that the Office of the State Attorney, that is supposed to be handling the litigation on behalf of state institutions, it should be doing so with the integrity that the public expects.
Thank you, Advocate. I mean, and your fervor, I can hear it in your voice. The frustration I think most of us feel is exactly that we can feel the fraying of our social fabric. You know, it starts at these officers of the court, leaders of members, you know, members of the ruling party, leaders of departments, and it kind of just leaks into the entire body politic of the country, and so it becomes quite urgent for us to start seeing these heads roll, and yet for you to effect this, it's painstaking and it's time consuming.
Indeed.
How long to see justice actually served?
Right. The good part is that, you know, we appeared with our colleagues yesterday from NPA. That was clearly to send the message that, I mean, in the past, Refilwe, we have seen, as I said yesterday, we have seen some level of inaction towards prosecuting those who are implicated. We are working very closely with the NPA now, National Prosecuting Authority, for those matters to be speeded up. Obviously, they're evidence-based, but as we, as investigating agency, we would have put together the evidence that ensures that those matters move speedily. We've also pulled in the hawks to ensure that wherever there's any further criminal investigation that needs to be done, those should be speeded up. So as part of our presentation yesterday, we investigated the other irregularities and corruption that could possibly be in the building of the courts, you know. So what we are saying is that, and this doesn't apply only on this investigation, it applies all over in all the investigations, wherever there's culpability at all levels, whether it's the accounting officer executives or any other one. We are not going to spare anyone who is found to be implicated. So your point, those who are heading the state institutions, and by the way, we also focus on the private sector parties that may have been involved. Because in this build industry, there's private sector companies that are involved, and we are pointing them out. We will make sure that the heads roll, as you say. So we have realized, and we are making sure that we are correcting that and plucking that gap of speeding up consequence management, be it criminal prosecution, civil recovery. On the civil recovery, you would know that there is a special tribunal that the president proclaimed last year, and it started functioning in October. It was just a bit disrupted due to COVID-19, but we are in conversation with the tribunal president to make sure that the matters that are referred there by special investigating unit are dealt with speedily, so that we can recover the money speedily as well. So, okay. And on the officials, there's also that buy-in across government that officials should also be held responsible speedily. Absolutely. As well, so that we clean up the system.
I mean, one of the things that we're struggling with here, Advocate, I mean, we saw this in the case of, for example, the former chairman of SAA, Dudumieni, is finding the direct culpability, you know, getting the actual culpability for people who sit on directorships and in boards. Many state-owned enterprises, for example, have many boards that have not been held responsible for the failure of so many of these. I mean, this is a dereliction of duty as well, even if it's not necessarily direct corruption. To what extent is the SIU in a position to hold them accountable too?
As you may have seen in one example, in our investigation in one of the state institutions, SABC to be particular, we have investigated a whole range of irregularities there, and we have pointed out at all levels, including the board of directors, they have now gone to court challenging our findings, but we have not relented in pointing out the board of directors that they were culpable in a sense in discharging their duties. We are also now busy with the investigation at SABC, which you mentioned now. We have followed the court process that ultimately declared the chair of the, or the former chair of the board, delinquent. Our investigation will also be focusing on the governance failures of the airline and point out at all levels, including the boards of directors. We will look at all of those and make sure that we point out where there has been dereliction of duty.
Excellent. And Advocate, about how many cases? I mean, I think sometimes we are not entirely in tune with how much load the SIU is facing, but how many cases are currently live? I mean, is it in the hundreds?
At the moment, we've got more than 100 investigations that are going on. We've got about more than 60 proclamations that are ongoing at the moment. Sure. And you can imagine in one proclamation, you'll find that there's about more than 100, 150 focus areas that are being investigated.
Right.
So it's quite massive. Yeah. And what we are doing is to capacitate ourselves.
Good.
You remember that the Minister of Finance in the previous budget speech, he allocated to SIU, NPA and HOCS at least some further allocation of budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been enabled to make sure that we capacitate ourselves, and we will be recruiting to make sure that we've got capacity to deal with massive investigations.
Great. Good to know. Thank you so much, Advocate Andy Motibi, the head of the Special Investigating Unit.
Thank you, Rashida.
All right, then.